All right, welcome to this week's episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
All right, Larry, we're here once again to give our take on the week of events that just transpired. And as everyone knows, before we can do any of that, it's always time for...
Bing-bing.
There you go. What part of the show is that?
It's pimping. Because it ain't easy.
It ain't easy. But it's also our most favoriteest time of the show.
Yes, because I get to sit here and do nothing while John puts out the entire list of places.
Here we go. All right. For all your Riotous needs, go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. For all the past episodes, both audio and visual, go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. Also, check out our show synopses, Twitter posts, everything. Just go to thatriotshow.com. Follow us there as well. You can also try going to social media. That would be Facebook. Facebook.com/thatriotshow. Facebook.com/thatriotshow. Become a fan of the show there. Sign up to like the page. Get updates and posts. Share some thoughts with your fellow Riot fans. Facebook.com/thatriotshow. And Larry, the final goodliest... Most gooder.
The goodosity level is very high.
The goodness is awesome. Go to Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. You can check out all the tweets that come flying out of my brain at 2 in the morning when other normal people are sleeping. I'm up on Twitter trolling the only other asshole that's on Twitter at that time, our president-elect, Donald Trump.
I was going to say, what are you doing up at that hour with Trump?
Yeah, that's the thing. So check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow. And Phil, please prepare the Scroll-O Podcasts. For those folks that would prefer listening to us on the go, you can find this episode and all the others of The Riot on your favorite podcast platform. That would include things like, Phil, hit it, iTunes, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Player.fm, Stitcher, Mixcloud, TuneIn, SoundCloud, and just about any place that a podcast could conceivably be hosted, you will find us there. Just search for That Riot Show. For the podcast platform of your choice, just search for That Riot Show. Okay, Larry, that concludes the pimping.
Yes.
One day we'll have to bring hoes in for this part of the episode. If we can get them for free. That's the problem with hoes. They don't want to come on for free. They being good capitalists, hoes want to get paid for their hoeness.
Yeah, it's like Mike Tyson said. He goes, as soon as the money goes, the hoes goes.
There you go. The hose goes. There you go.
That's actually how he put it.
Yeah. Mike is a certain type of good philosopher, I would have to say.
Oh, yeah. He said that during the roast of Charlie Sheen. Because as soon as the hose goes, the money goes. As soon as the money goes, the hose goes.
Yeah.
And Charlie Sheen's like sitting there laughing and goes, whatever happened to them hoes, those goddesses? And he's like, yeah, crazy.
So, yeah. All right. So, let's see. What can we talk about, Larry? First of all, what occurred this week? And listen, I know I say it at the beginning of every show, I wish we could get away from talking about Trump. I really do.
So let's talk about the Golden Globes.
Yes.
Meryl Streep.
Yes, on the Golden Globes.
Cunt. I'm sorry, but I'm putting that out there. Why are you doing this to us? This is going to be the weekend, week out thing now. We have to defend Donald Trump because people on the left have lost their marbles.
Look,
she got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Right.
The Golden Globes, okay. And she went up there to make a speech about Donald Trump and how when he made fun of a handicapped person, it reached and dug hooks into her heart or something.
And she's talking about the best performance of the year was actually the one that he put out. Listen.
Oh, my God.
Look, Hollywood actors, actresses, and their leftist affiliations, especially for trying to make political statements, is a time-honored tradition. It goes back a long time to when even what's his face, George C. Scott, refused his Oscar.
Oh, for Patton.
in protest of the treatment of the American Indian. And, you know, there's always been somebody who will come up and say something that's pro-left, anti-right. That's like par for the course. But I have to say something. There is no winner in that thing. Larry said defend Trump. No, not really. I view it as she said what she had to say. Fine. What do you expect? But you have to understand when you're in that position, you know, when you try to shame someone, that assumes they have enough self-awareness to be ashamed. Do you know what I mean? If someone doesn't have any sort of shame upon themselves, you can't... You can't shame them by pointing something out, right? So,
or even just basic maturity.
Well, that too.
What would have killed him if he had, look, everybody knows he loves Twitter. I hate Twitter. Okay. He went on Twitter right away. There's
fake actress.
The most overrated actress.
Yeah.
And he took a shot at me, and I didn't make fun of a handicapped person. I was talking about his groveling, and he changed the story after 16 years, which may or may not be true. I never really bred into that one too much. But here's the problem. What would kill him if just once he went on Twitter and said, I saw Meryl Streep on the Golden Globes. I didn't agree with the thing she said about me. Look forward to healing our country, or working together, something like that. And then stop fucking tweeting, you idiot. You're the president.
Or even something simpler. Just don't respond.
Okay.
Just don't respond.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen because he loves Twitter. And this is his way now of circumventing the press,
right?
And answering people directly who give him a charge.
Right. So that's what's interesting to me. Not interesting, but like where you could see this going. Like it became so hack because as soon as Meryl Streep said what she said, people were waiting for Trump's response. It's like a game right now. Let's see how stupid he's going to get. And he got stupid, obviously. Like, I mean...
Well, it's the usual Trump response.
Right? It's demeaning the person who said it, not addressing the issue, whatever. But to me, it's like, okay, Meryl Streep, what did you expect? Did you expect to shame him? Did you expect that your speech would somehow galvanize the left? Look, the left is already out of their fucking mind. They don't need any more egging on. But all right, fair enough. But what did you expect Trump to do?
I would stipulate here that since it was a Lifetime Achievement Award, it would have been nice if she said something that actually had to do with the award, the achievement, or career move. She literally just started right in on him, and that's it.
No, but, fair enough. I mean, I get it.
What's she doing?
I don't necessarily say she did anything right. I just think that, look, when you're president, you have to let go of shit. You have to.
No.
And like we said last week, when you're Trump, why don't you just look past Meryl Streep giving you shit? Right. Seriously. Why don't you look past, what was it, 2 weeks ago, when he gave shit to The Apprentice for hiring
Schwarzenegger
and that his ratings sucked and he always had much bigger ratings and this and that. Like, seriously, you douchebag, you're the president of the United States. You're going to be the president of the United States. I refuse to believe that there's so little going on in this transition phase that you have time to worry about what fucking Meryl Streep has to say.
You don't have enough economic issues. You don't have enough foreign policy disasters. You don't have enough stuff to keep yourself busy. You're doing a repeal and replace of Obamacare right now. You don't have enough to keep you. I mean, he did make the comment the other day that he could run the government and run his shows, all his businesses, all at the same time if he wanted to, which you can't. But look, without getting into the whole conflict of interest and blind trust thing, why are you wasting your time? I mean, I know she's an idiot. Okay.
Yeah.
I know she's a left-wing douche. I got it. All right? I know that she didn't spend any of the time talking about her career or thanking people. I mean, you know. And I noticed also that they made a point of focusing their cameras on Vince Vaughn and Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Because Vince Vaughn is a libertarian, actually. And Mel Gibson is a very conservative Catholic. And they were sitting there and they were looking at her like she's nuts. And they had to make fun of that, too. But you know what? You're the president-elect. And could you focus on the job at hand? I cannot believe, and all your nominees, some of them are in trouble. I can't believe that you don't have bigger and more important things to do, like abusing that guy from CNN.
that's the pettiness. That it doesn't matter if you're right or not, honestly. It doesn't matter if, because we're not on a playground. And we keep making these comparisons to five-year-olds only because they're absolutely appropriate, okay? A five-year-old refuses to let go of anything. And if you have kids, you know, when you grab a five-year-old and say, like, why did you pull her hair? well, she touched me first, you know. And that's the type of thing, like, Trump is the same way. It's like, why couldn't you let the Meryl Streep thing go? Why did you have to come? Well, she said something bad about me first. Ted Cruz said something bad about me during the campaign. Rubio's, like, at some point, can't you just be the bigger man, especially now that you've won? You're the president, okay? Just let it go. Just let it fucking go.
I gotta tell you right now, that's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. His entire approach to everything in life is, if somebody slights him, even a little, his thinking is, I have to go right back at you. And his preferred mode of, you know, communicating this is Twitter. But he's going to do it in person, too. The fact that this is what I worry about. This is why this whole past year and a half I said, he's not statesmanlike, he's not presidential. You're seeing it already. And look at the way he just goes right back at people with no concern that he's the most powerful person in the fucking world. Look what he's wasting his time on. You know what? Rosie O'Donnell said something stupid about your son, and now Meryl Streep. For God's sake, can't you? You know what? You also better get used to it. Because, like, Michael Moore and some other people are planning something on the inauguration as a counter.
Well, that's the
thing. You gotta get used to it. Assholes are coming after
you. Right. It's so easy to provoke him. And, I mean, actually, that's one of the things dopey Hillary Clinton said. Like, you know, do we need someone as president who gets provoked by tweets? And honestly,
that's true.
That's absolutely true. To give, I mean, got to give credit where credit is due. Like, I mean, and listen, and this kind of bleeds into the whole story about Russian intelligence and stuff. What a clusterfuck this is. I've had the time of my life arguing with both Republicans and Democunts on this issue, right? So, as many of you probably heard during the week, it also came out, allegedly, that there was this dossier of leaked Russian intelligence that claims they have dirt on Trump. Right. And that some of this dirt is that he enjoys golden showers, that he enjoyed some golden showers from Russian prostitutes in the bed that the Obamas slept in when they visited Russia. Okay? Now, personally, I don't think it's true. It came from BuzzFeed. It's probably a practical joke planted by those tools over at 4chan, whatever. But what this highlights is that someone like Trump, that we knew this going in, and we said it all along, the Russians probably do have something on him, okay? If for no other reason, Trump and his associates have been doing business in Russia. Do you know what doing business in Russia, and by business, I mean like business, like where hundreds of millions of dollars exchange hands, okay? By definition in Russia, that means you're either dealing with gangsters, the KGB, or both. That's what it means in Russia.
Right.
Like, all the big businesses are owned by mobsters. They're run by the Russian mob.
Certain government people.
Or the KGB.
They don't have a lot of individual, just like we have Bill Gates and these people. They don't have it. There's the guy who owns the Nets and basketball, Russian guy. But they don't have a lot of that. Most of them really are just gangsters and, like, seedy people.
Right.
And you have to really, it's one of the reasons why, this goes back about 10 years, but something came out about a lot of businesses here that don't want to invest over there.
Oh, because
they're afraid
they're going to get
caught up with these people and that they're going to lose their money, because then what are they going to do? Complain like you didn't know? Like, if I invest with you and you turn out to be a gangster, what am I going to complain about?
Well, right, exactly.
I gave my money to a gangster? So
that's the thing. And listen, for all of you saying, well, he's a businessman, he has to deal with shady people. Fine. No, when you're a private businessman, do whatever the fuck you want. I really don't care. But when you're president now, and for all you rubes, and I can't emphasize the word enough, rubes, who thought, like, oh, he's a businessman, he brings that businessman CEO intelligence and drive and learn, right?
Yeah.
We always said you have to look at what kind of businessman he is, how he deals with things. It's perfectly okay if you're trying to make $1 million, $2 million, $1 billion to deal with fucking shady gangsters in Russia and ex-KGB agents like fucking Putin. You may have to deal with them, and that's fine, because all the risk is on you and your shareholders. But when you're president, that risk is now assumed by the entire country. So you can't just say, well, he was a good businessman. Oh, I don't understand. You have to excuse. I don't have to excuse shit. We all knew this was the case. His his Secretary of State nominee, Tillson. We were just watching the confirmation hearings. And Rubio was giving him a tough time. And good on Rubio for doing that. Now, he may be motivated by revenge issues.
Yeah, that's...
But the point of the matter is Tillson, who may or may not be as scummy as Trump, I don't know, has very clear ties to Putin and Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Business-wise.
Oh, yeah. No, he's done a lot of business.
So all these guys are grilling him, like, what do you know about Putin? Is Putin, in your opinion, is he a gangster? Is he a dictator?
But the questioning was amazing, because at one point, he actually said during his testimony, he said, well, he actually hasn't spoken to Trump about Russia. How is that possible?
It's not. He's lying. It's obvious. Just,
you know, that's bizarre.
I mean, in my opinion, I think he's lying.
Allegedly.
But that's the point, right? So... For all you rubes, and I had it all week with the rubes, it's exactly that. It's, even if he's innocent, even if he's like as pure as the driven snow on these matters, okay? What makes you think that he's above the appearance of a conflict? Or the appearance of having, the Russians having something on him? This whole golden showers thing and intelligence leaks, get used to it, okay? Get used to it, because whether they're proven or not, they're going to be a constant running throughout a Trump administration for two reasons. One, they're probably true to some extent. I refuse to believe that he did business with Russians and they don't have something on him. Mm-hmm. Whether he enjoys getting pissed on, whether he enjoys having a stick of butter shoved up his ass or having Melania fuck the monkey, I don't know, okay? Whatever it is, they probably have something on
him. Absolutely.
Okay, they could have honeypotted him, whatever, all right? And then step two of all this is, he's been shitting on the intelligence community from day one.
Yeah.
I liken it to what happened here in New York with that communist de Blasio when he took over, all right? He came out and shit on the NYPD. Like, even if you disagree with some of the tactics, whatever, stop and frisk, whatever, you don't shit on the cops directly for two reasons. One, they're not the ones who set policy. That's the first thing.
Right.
But on a very more practical political level, you in New York especially, you need the cops on your side. Every mayor that's been antagonistic with the cops has gotten fucked over one way or another.
Yeah.
And that goes against both political parties. For example, obviously Giuliani had a good rapport with the police.
Yeah, great.
But even Bloomberg, a liberal, had a very good rapport with the police. Like, for all his other faults, he had a very good rapport with them. De Blasio comes in day one and essentially called them, like, dishonest
and thugs. He had to have the talk with his son.
Right.
How about that? You know what that implies?
Well, for those of you that don't know, his son is black.
Right, his wife is black. And the two kids, obviously, are more, they're black, like they don't look white at all. And the kids got the fro from the Jackson 5 cartoon from the 70s, right? And de Blasio goes out and says he had to have the talk with his son, meaning he has to be careful around the police. You've got to be kidding me, for God's sakes. Do you have any idea that these guys are out there, they're getting killed? There was something like 140 cops killed last year in this country. Yeah, are you kidding me? And as far as, let me tell you something, he's absolutely right. The last mayor that had a crappy relationship with us was Dinkins. And you know what? He was out after 4 years. And let me tell you something, there are people already, we're going on a bit of a tangent here, but there are people now lining up to run against de Blasio. You know that guy, Bo Deedle?
Yeah.
You know that detective guy? He's on Fox.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, he is. But you know what? He's running for mayor. I saw him today. He's running, as a Democrat. He's running for mayor, and you're ready. He's going after de Blasio, and there's a couple of guys in the Democrat Party.
Yeah, but
you cannot do these kind of stupid things. And getting it back to what
Trump,
Trump,
it's like,
you know, this whole thing with Russia. Let me tell you something. Prediction right now, it's going to hang over the first 4 years.
Yeah, of course.
It might be his only 4 years. This is going to hang over his administration now because he didn't release his taxes. He's not clean about what his relationships is with Russia. He said way too many positive things about Putin over the course of the campaign. And this guy Tillerson has got ties with them too. I can't imagine why you're picking these people, especially you could have Giuliani. You could have had other people, Bolton. You could, and you picked this guy Tillerson? Holy
Tillerson,
cow.
I think, or whatever his name is. But the point is, it's like, yeah, why you, so, and what's worse is, it's, and believe me, for someone who's a libertarian, someone who, as we like to say, has no horse in this game, right? I didn't vote for Trump. Larry didn't vote for Trump. We didn't vote for Clinton, right? So we get to be the only ones who get to shit on everybody. And the truth of the matter is, when you look at Trump right now, he is just doing everything wrong, and he's not focusing necessarily on the transition, on the team, Larry.
No.
And I mean, I just don't understand why rubes who were so quick to accept everything that allegedly got hacked by Russia, and you rubes know who I am. You cheered. Yay, they hacked the DNC. Your exalted leader, Trump, said the same thing. They should release everything they have on the DNC. Maybe they'll find more about Hillary and all that. Right? And all you rubes were cheering that. Now, what is it? What? It's fake news? Is that it? It's fake intelligence? I saw that idiot Trump, who doesn't know how to even tweet properly, he said, well, certain intelligence committee. Like, why did he put intelligence in quotes? Stupid. It's intelligence community. That's what it's called. You don't have to put it in quotes, all right? The point is, why are you same rubes? So, and again, I'm not even saying the whole golden shower thing is real or not.
Of course not. But you know what it is? It's the whole business of when people, it's the weirdest thing. It's like religion. When people love someone, they're all in. Like, for instance, I mean, even with Trump, like the things he said about China, that the global warming was a hoax by China.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. They don't care. The things
that
he said about
his father
was about killing JFK, about grabbing women's pussies.
Yeah.
All these things. None of these things add up to them. All they care about is that they think he's going to come in and blow up the system.
Now when the report comes out that he enjoys golden showers, they're all shocked. And they all blame CNN and BuzzFeed and all that. And again, without even relating to it, like, why are you so quick to just... Is it just because they were negative against your idiot as opposed to somebody else's idiot? I mean, honestly, you either trust the news or you don't.
Right.
That's all there is to it. And if you buy into Trump's bullshit that Putin is like the second coming of Pope John Paul, then guess what? Stick with that position. Own it. So if it turns out that Putin does have shit on Trump, you can't backtrack on that and all of a sudden and say... Oh, shit, you know.
But even more troubling, he doesn't even seem particularly concerned with the fact that, to whatever degree, the Russians have interfered with our election and are trying to undermine our
democracy. Well, now he is, because now I think he finally realized that, listen, here, let's play speculation game right now.
Okay.
Here's my speculation. Trump all along knew that the Russians were doing this to the DNC and Clinton. I think he knew all along.
Yeah, and it helps.
He probably tacitly accepted their help. And probably there was some agreement, like some quid pro quo that said, once I get into office, I'm going to do this for you, blah, 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 whatever that may be. And now the Russians are trying to strong arm him even more by saying, guess what? Stupid.
Yeah.
What did you think? The DNC is the only thing we can hack? We can't hack the fucking RNC somehow? Like the RNC doesn't have a couple of idiots working for it, just like the DNC?
Yeah, we may have footage of you getting pissed on by some bitch. I mean, that's...
And I guarantee you, for all his yelling about fake news and shit like that, if this is a fake story, it may be just the Russians' way of saying, by the way, don't forget our deal, stupid.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this
and
one
can
be
proven.
And that
a lot of people fall for fake news, and if we put out there something like this on you, certainly the part of the world and the part of the country, this country that hate you, they're going to believe it like that. So they have ways of... maneuvering him and handling him. And look, clearly, if you look at what's been put out there even so far, clearly they wanted him to win, not Hillary.
Oh, of course. Time. Absolutely. That goes without saying. Because who would
and
you
that's
rather...
why this Tillerson, it's actually Tillerson, fact-checking myself on the air. This guy, this is a problem, too, because he's got all kinds of ties with it. And his answers to everything that was asked to him, in the not just Rubio, just everything, well, I don't have enough information. I have to look into that. And the audacity, I still can't get it. He hasn't spoken to Trump yet and about Russia. That is either the biggest lie in the world or the most ridiculous, irresponsible. How do you not, how could you not have spoken? And if you have, what have you been speaking to him about?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes, Russia's all over Syria. Yeah, don't forget they went into the Ukraine, they went into Georgia, they've been making stinks near the Baltic nations. I mean, all this stuff that, I mean, Putin is just, I mean, I got to tell you, between Bush, Obama, and now Trump, he's having a riot, this guy. It's just, he's having a party. I mean, everything is breaking his way. The only thing that's fucking him up is the economy in Russia blows. That's it. Their economy is terrible.
But nobody has the balls to say or do anything about that in Russia, except for the pussy riot.
That's right. And see, riot is a very key part of democracy. Democracy and freedom. Yeah, but this is going to be, I'm telling you right now, this is the sword of Damocles. It's just going to hang over his head forever. And you're just going to, you know, and let me tell you, CNN, all right, that reporter, James Acosta, went after him. MSNBC, these two. Fox are kind of 50-50, actually, on them. But the CNN, MSNBC, these networks, they are going to go
after
them.
And the regular news network.
Yeah, the regular news, and also international.
Yeah.
I saw a British news network, obviously, they don't like him either. So he's going to have a hard time if he thinks the media, dishonest media, these stupid things he tweets at, you better get used to it. All the people who like Trump out there, break out your toes. Because you're going to be counting all the news agencies.
Honestly, look, Nixon had a very adversarial relationship with the press. Obama, to some extent, did, especially with Fox News, had a very adversarial sort of relationship.
Yeah, but that's about the only one.
No, I understand.
I mean, like, look at this guy. Did you see him with the CNN reporter? Well, can I ask you a question? Can I ask what you're going to ask? Did you see that exchange?
Yeah.
Now, juxtapose that with that reporter, I think it was from the Washington Post or whatever it was. He goes, the first press conference with Obama, what has intrigued you? What has made you happy?
Yeah.
What has tickled your fancy? Like, he went through that whole silly thing, and Obama goes, "All right, hold on. What has made me intrigued? What is my like that kind of fawning ass kissing? You're not going to see that.
Yeah.
Even the people who like him, they're going to be in a position where they just have to ask straight questions anyway to gain legitimacy. So you're going to see a certain percentage real questions, like put it, and then just hostility. Like that's it.
It's tough because what. You can't be president and have a hostile press. It's just, it doesn't work for you. You can tweet all you want, all right? Because
that's the X factor.
No,
you
it's not.
You can get around it. Yeah.
It's not because, look, there's a certain percentage of his rubes that will just review the Twitter, agreed. But also don't forget that that Twitter nonsense is magnified by the CNNs, ABCs, NBCs, MSNBCs, Foxes of the world. If they feel that he's really putting them off, like really, really putting them off, when he starts banning people from his
from press conferences,
you will start to see a backlash. They won't retweet his shit. They won't comment on his shit. And they'll just, for example, be super more favorable to the opposition. Don't forget, 2018 is not a long ways away. And the incumbent party has trouble in every midterm election.
Yeah.
And the House, for example, is very unstable. The Republicans lost a little bit of ground in the House. They have the Senate, but again, not by much. What is it? 52-48. That's not a big swing, all right? And you know a lot of the shit that he's proposing is doomed to failure. So when you add it all up, can he really afford to be fully adversarial with everybody? Like Larry said, even the people who kiss his ass, like Breitbart, Fox, all right? To some extent, the fact that they're social conservatives means that a lot of the shit that he's been accused of doing, his language, his behavior, the way he attacks people, sometimes innocent people, sometimes, you know, people who just ask the very innocent question. Social conservatives really don't grok that shit. I'm telling you, it's like very few of them appreciated when he made fun of the guy with epilepsy or cerebral palsy or whatever it was. Okay, they may not have attacked Trump, but you know you could see a lot of them were uncomfortable with it, and most of them, except for that dopey Ann Coulter, really none of them really bought his excuse that he wasn't making fun of him. He always does this when he talks. Trump always talks like this.
He said that the reporter was groveling.
Yeah.
That he wasn't making fun of his physical
disability.
And even that comment on the thing with Billy Bush about grabbing women's pussies.
Right.
Let me tell you, women who are social conservatives or religious, how do you think that makes them feel? I was watching Fox with that Dana Perino.
Yeah.
Well, she's pretty smart. You listen to her, but you know what? She went like, she almost like was looked devastated. Like, she works for Bush. And, you know, you can't expect these people to support you. The only thing this idiot's got going for him, and I'll say it again, I noticed after he met Obama for like an hour and a half, Obama said about him, he doesn't seem particularly ideological. The only thing that might work for Trump is because he has no real beliefs, as far as I'm concerned, no real ideology or ideological base. He might be able to work with people and just sit down and hammer shit out.
Because
he doesn't really, like, in other words, his thing at the end is, okay, we got this. All right, here's the deal. Like, we put a deal together. And he's going to go out because he's already, he reinforced the other day he's going to better trade deals. He's going to review them, and we're going to have better deals, and then he's going to tie that into saving your jobs. And
but then, exactly. So at some point, though, a lot of this shit has to become reality, all right? So right now, he's taking credit for shit that he had nothing to do with. Like, I saw, who was it? Somebody else avoided closing the plant, and he took credit for it, one of the automakers. And then the automakers, like, within 10 seconds, issued a press release that said, no, we don't make decisions over the course of a week. You know, it's like, that's the other thing rubes don't understand.
Yeah, they actually think he's just calling them on the back phone and going, hey, look!
And they're changing their mind in the course of 24 hours, all right? It's not a mom and pop store, you douchebags. Like, do you think really that Ford or Chrysler or GM or Toyota really decides? If you've ever worked for a corporate giant like that, they have business plans out 5 years in some cases. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Do you think Trump getting elected and him saying, close that Mexico plant and bring that back to Michigan, do you really think that took place in the course of a week? Of course not.
And it certainly has nothing to do with him calling up and saying, if you move to Mexico, we're going to slap like a 35% tariff on you. Look,
especially not, again, in the time frame that he's talking about.
Right. These things are planned out years in advance. In other words, and the reason they do it, in case you're wondering, is because they want, as their company, their corporation, whatever you're running, you want whatever you're planning for the future, you want that to move smoothly. So you have time to plan for things to happen, or we'll get these people in place, we'll move these assets here, and you want things to move in a straight line and just be smooth.
Right.
Nobody in this world, unless you're on a TV show, nobody sits and goes, all right, this is what we're doing. And let's do it by Thursday. Like,
right.
Nobody does that. And nobody reverses course. Let's say John and I run a company and we're moving to Mexico. We decided to move. If we've been doing this for the past 2 years, all right, here's now we're going to go. We're not going to not do it because this asshole calls us up and says, you better stop.
Yeah.
And like, I'm building a wall. Like, yeah, you know, this isn't how things function. So
especially for big companies. Small companies have a little bit more leeway because they have 20 employees, they have more pressing needs and things like that.
Yeah, you could slam
literally
on the brakes.
Like, listen, I used to consult for Ford. I'm telling you, with the utmost sincerity, they do nothing quarter to quarter. They do nothing quarter to quarter. Forget week to week. They don't do anything quarter to quarter. That's how they, who was the CEO at the time, Mullally? That's how he saved Ford. Because, for example, and I know we're going off the beaten path here, but for example, these CEOs, some of them are smart enough to say, let me do forecasting on currency rate exchanges so that I can plan ahead whether to invest my dollars as euros or euros as dollars. So when I do build my plant in Europe or in pesos, so when I do build it in Mexico, I do it at a time when the forecast says the pesos are the cheapest. So it costs me less to build that factory.
Right.
I can leverage my American dollars, right? So, like, I mean, the really good strategic thinkers think like that. They don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, fuck, Trump tweeted out that I got to close that factory in Mexico we've been planning for the past 3 years.
Yeah, we can't go now.
Oh, fuck me. We can't go now.
Yeah.
Come on. For you rubes. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. I will not apologize for calling you rubes. I've had several people send me tweets and Facebook requests like, why do you call us rubes? Because you are. You're fucking rubes.
The truth will out, Oscar.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And then, of course, it's usually followed up by the textbook definition of a rube, okay? Because rubes don't understand how they're rubes to begin with. A rube is someone who's just, cutting to the chase, is someone who's extremely gullible. Usually, like, it's perceived as someone from a small town when they hit, say, Chicago or New York or L.A. for the first time, that they're always, you know, like, looking around with their eyes open, Larry, at the tall buildings.
My mental picture of it was always Barry Switzer, the former coach of the Dodgers. He just seemed like a dingleberry.
Actually, you know what a rube would be, like, if you're old school? It's like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
They would be rubes, right? They're not stupid.
Well, that's extreme.
Yeah, but they're not stupid necessarily.
No, they're
it's
simple.
Just, they're simple, and they get taken in by people, and they're trusting. And that's what you Trump rubes are. You just don't stop long enough to analyze what he says, all right? So Trump right now has done nothing to save any of your jobs. Even that carrier deal. First of all, it hasn't happened yet. Second, it's between the state of Indiana. You have more to thank Pence than you do Trump about that, okay? So please stop
with the
rumors.
But even that wasn't a 100%. They're still losing jobs. They're just not losing all of them. They're going to lose something like 1,800, and they kept like 1,000.
It was a shitty deal to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's just made worse by the perception that they think it's good. Like, for example, Larry.
But he's going to keep doing this.
This week, I want to make sure we get this in, right?
Yeah.
The Republicans passed a budget, both the Senate and the House. And part of this process was to destroy Obamacare, to finally repeal it through budget reconciliation. Again, to keep things simple, what that means is they haven't legally repealed Obamacare. They're cutting off funding for it. So that's like saying, like, we're not going to kill you, but if we own the oxygen, we're turning it off.
Yeah, well, without money.
Right.
It's a complete government-run program.
So exactly. So it'll die on the vine. But there were 9 Republicans who voted against it, I think, in the House, and only 1 Republican senator who voted against it. And those people should be fucking heroes to you.
Mount Rushmore.
Especially to you fucking rubes, okay? And for all of you that are saying, what? They didn't want to destroy Obamacare? No. Here's what the problem is. The problem is the budget they approved in order to repeal Obamacare increases the deficit by $9.7 trillion, almost a $10 trillion increase. Now, for all you rubes out there, is that what Republicans are to you? Is that what Republicanism is? Is that what conservatism is? Forget libertarians. Like, the libertarians in Congress voted against it. Justin Amash.
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul. I'm disappointed that Mike Lee voted for the budget, apparently.
Yeah, right.
I would have, but, Rand Paul stood by his principles this time around. He's not voting for it. Justin Amash, I think it's pronounced.
Amash.
Right? Another libertarian Republican party, but libertarian the guy. Said, for shame on you Republicans, and for shame on you rubes that think that somehow this is a good thing just because Trump wants it.
No, but they think it's a good thing because they fronted it with getting rid of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
So if you're a person who's all in on getting rid of that, oh, well, this is it. This is your opportunity. There had to be a better way to do this than raising the debt $10 trillion. That's insane. Isn't it bad enough? Look, Bush left Obama $11 trillion. Right now, when he leaves over, it's going to be $19.9 trillion, so basically $20. Isn't it bad enough that no one's taking responsibility for the taxpayer
and
money?
And day one of the Trump administration,
it's going
to
be
that $19 goes to $29. So this is what I mean by rubes taking over what used to be the Republican Party. As far as I'm concerned, there is no real Republican Party anymore.
No.
There are no real conservatives except for born-again hallelujah rubes right now, okay?
They're like Democrats light.
It's not even light anymore. They're just two flavors of Democratic status. They just call each other different things, okay? Right. And if you're a Republican, you say, well, we tolerated this $10 trillion increase, Larry, so we could get rid of Obamacare. You definitely sound like fucking Democrats in that case, okay? You definitely sound. Because now everything becomes a series of special interests that the rest of us get fucked over on.
Right.
All right? So Obamacare is enough of an abomination to get rid of it. You're raising the debt another $10
trillion? Yeah.
I mean, at that fucking rate, you might as well have just kept Obamacare.
Yeah.
All right?
And you should have kept it. And the 20 million whoever who got their insurance from it?
And Paul
Ryan?
Look,
it's falling apart anyway. Like Humana said they lost $1 billion. Other big healthcare providers are pulling out. And it's exactly what John said last week. The way insurance works is you need these healthy people to pay to take care of the sick people. And it's like 90% sick people. So you don't have enough people who are healthy paying for the sick. Okay, but you know what? If this is the way of repeal and replace...
Come up with a better plan.
Yeah, or you know what? At this point, like you just said, you should have your policy should be leave and alone because at this point,
at this point with that budget, you were better off letting it stay in place for six months and coming up with something that you could actually put in place that works. Now listen, Rand Paul had a budget outline that balanced itself in 5 years. For Republicans, for you rubes out there that voted for all these Republicans and for Trump, why didn't you push for that? Why wouldn't you be appalled that your rube representative didn't vote for a Rand Paul plan?
Yeah.
Okay? Why?
There has to be a way to undo Obamacare, and it's going to be a mess. This is what I was telling John last week, that you can't just get rid of it. It's going to be a mess because it's too entwined around shit. But here it is. There has to be a way to have done this without increasing the debt. There has to be a way. I understand the finances of this, but there has to be a way to do that. I mean, look, they just agreed to, what, $9.7 trillion?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I'm right about this and the way they've been fucking things up, it's going to be worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to continue to raise the debt ceiling, which is a fucking mess. And this is the worst part about it. So at this point, no one has the political will to deal with our debt. And even the interest on our debt is outrageous.
And that's the thing, right? And you say, well, we've had debt all along. We've done okay. But here's the other thing you have to take into consideration. If President Moron actually goes through with his trade deals and protectionist nonsense, you're going to have a shitload of debt coupled with a shitload of inflation.
Yeah.
Because like we said, when you start slapping tariffs on things, that results in one thing, and one thing only, higher consumer prices. Mm-hmm. Inflation, it goes up. Whether or not you get real jobs is a matter of opinion, and really the only correct answer is you don't get real jobs out of it. You don't get real trade out of it. What you get is inflation. That's the only guarantee of protectionism and mercantilism.
Even if you get jobs, they're not going to be high paying like that he's implying. I mean, that's, you know, but he's making it sound
like... No, I understand. He thinks it's like, my God, why didn't anybody ever think of this, Larry? Just slap all foreign imports with 35% tariffs and everything's great.
Why not make it 70%?
Why not make it 100%? Yeah. It's the same sort of ridiculous logic that people who support a minimum wage think of. You know what the correct level of a minimum wage is? Zero. That is the correct minimum wage. Zero. Okay? A mandated minimum wage at zero is the correct level.
And I hope you're watching, Bernie, because you're the proponent of $15.
So people would say, well, 15, even at 15, people can't live off of 15, right? So let me ask you this. Why not make the minimum wage $100
an hour?
$200 an hour. Wouldn't that be great? If you made the minimum wage $100 an hour, you would guarantee that everybody in this country could live like a high-priced lawyer.
And all the businesses that have to pay it would be out of business.
No, but I mean, but I'm saying that's the result. But I mean, you have to put things in these stark terms for rules.
No, but that's also what leftists, because they think that businesses can afford it, but they think they're just being like capitalist scumbags about it. Not true.
Yeah.
How many businesses, like for instance, $100, who could actually afford to pay? It's going to be a pain in the ass at 15.
But that's where the leftist reasoning breaks down, because the leftists will be, well, you pay them more, they spend more, that provides more jobs, and it's that Keynesian nonsense, because all the Keynesian nonsense does is it follows money around. It doesn't stop to tell you, was there a real economic counterbalance to that wealth that you're injecting, that money that you're injecting in there? So, for example, the way you defeat that argument is you walk up to a Keynesian and say, great, make it $100 an hour. Let everybody be rich. At $100 an hour, we would have a nation full of Trumps in terms of wealth. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's all go protest for that. If that law passed, how long before anarchy and fucking Roman, it'd be the purge in the streets, okay?
But it's ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. You have to put it in that term.
Yeah, I understand.
To knock down the left. So it's the same thing with you rubes. At what point do you want me to take this to, the logical conclusion, to prove to you that this sort of tariffs and protectionism and mercantilism is a failed system, just like socialism, okay? It fails. It's just never worked.
I mean, you realize Obamacare only passed in like 2010 or whatever it was. It's already falling apart under its own weight. I mean, this was supposed to be this glorious program that like lasts forever. Look at the problems that it's running into. Premiums are up, deductibles are up, businesses, I mean, that $1 billion I talked about,
but
that's
the exchanges
real.
Themselves are falling apart because nobody can fund them. No one can participate in them. No one can service them, okay? And then, you know, and here's where the rubes jump in.
Look what the Republicans.
Yeah, and they say repeal Obamacare, replace it with single payer. Do you guys know what that means? Oof. You're basically saying government health care at that point.
Right, then we're Sweden.
Worse! You're Cuba at that point. You're fucking Cuba.
Well, they have the single payer on it.
Yeah, but I mean, with Sweden, they were smart enough to, like, at least have a productive society around it.
Yeah.
All right? But my point is, what you're asking for is even more communism, okay? More socialism when you say single payer. Which is, by the way, what your beloved Rube leader wants.
Yeah.
Trump has said he prefers a single payer. All right? So when you add everything up, please, if you're a Rube, at least be consistent. All right? That's what we always joke about liberals, that they're so inconsistent. Freedom of speech for me, but not for thee, right? And all that fun stuff. Right. The political correctness right now, you know?
Like, they don't have a problem with this guy James Acosta from CNN talking to Trump that way. Could you imagine if some reporter had spoken that way to Obama? You'd be a racist. You'd be a pig. You'd be a slut. You should be censored. You should be. I mean, right. They would have come down like a ton of bricks.
Well, not only that,
but this guy, this
kind
is fine.
Right, but we also kind of see it right now. Now, again, please don't confuse us when we defend Trump. As far as I'm concerned, anybody in the press can ask the president any goddamn question they want. I couldn't care less.
They could be respectful.
Or not. I couldn't care. Yeah. What I'm saying is, I couldn't care less. But at least my position is the same regardless. Meaning, if somebody asks Trump a dopey question, I'm just as I don't give a shit as if when someone asks Obama a dopey question. I couldn't care less, because that's my position. Or if you're Larry and you think there should be respectful questions at all times.
And respectful answers.
And respectful answers, then at least he applies it to both parties. That's fine. But both of you, Rubes, Republicans, and Democunts, act the same way. Acosta's a hero. Because he did it to Trump, but whoever, who was that guy that gave Obama grief from Fox, and they ended up getting banned as well? Fox, I forget who it was. And liberals cheered that, you know, that the guy got banned. Why? It's either you believe in freedom of speech or you don't.
Right. There's either there's no line between the reporter and the president, and he could talk to him like the way like John talks to you guys on Twitter. Like, either that's okay or it's not. It can't be. See, this is the problem we have now in our system. Well, it's been going on for quite some time. But, you know, the Republicans didn't like Bill Clinton. They spent 8 years trying to make him nuts and drunk and get him impeached and all that. Then the Democrats had to get even, and they treated like Bush like a fucking piece of shit. Now, for the past 8 years, the Republicans have been breaking Barack Obama's balls about it. And now, you know, the next 4 to 8 years, guess what the Democrats are going to be doing? Chuck Schumer's already setting himself up as the number one anti-Trump guy. Just everything now, and even something you said that he did this week, on Mitch McConnell, that was fantastic. I have to tell you, I don't like Chuck Schumer at all.
And,
I haven't voted for him. I always vote for the Republican, who nobody's ever even heard of.
Right. Whoever that is.
He wins, like, every race, like 75 to 10%. But I got to tell you, Chuck Schumer did something really great. I think you should mention it just because it's fantastic.
And it speaks to this hypocrisy. So in 2009, then-minority leader Mitch McConnell in the Senate wrote a letter to scumbag in charge Harry Reid saying, listen, just because Obama's in office, it doesn't mean we should bypass the process of background checks, you know, advise and consent on his
nominees. For all the various jobs.
And you know what? McConnell was right. He was right. And Republicans who cheered McConnell on were right. So let me ask you this. Why is it okay to try to ramrod all of President Moron's picks through? A lot of those guys have not passed background checks. Tillerson.
Ziniar in there.
And all those guys that he's nominated. They're not done checking
them
yet.
Many of these people.
And a lot of them have been very adversarial to have giving up information. For fuck's sake, Trump hasn't given up all the information on himself yet.
Has he released his taxes yet?
No release of the taxes. Now he says since he won, he doesn't have to. Okay?
Oh, he's not going to do it.
All right? And not to mention the whole thing about blind trust. But my point is, why is it okay for you Republicans to cheer that these guys are stonewalling and they get their confirmation hearings? Chuck Schumer very cleverly took the letter that 2009 Mitch McConnell sent to Harry Reid, and he just took the same letter, photocopied it, and just, you know, where it says Dear Senator Reid at the top, he just crossed it out and said Dear Senator, and then he handwrote McConnell, and at the bottom where it was signed Sincerely Mitch McConnell. He just crossed out Mitch McConnell and he signed in Chuck Schumer. And the rest of the letter was exactly the same because it's the exact same fucking thing. And of course, Schumer released it to the press. Guess what? Schumer is right. I don't give a shit if he's a fucking liberal. He's right. When you're right, you're right.
I don't even care that he's related to Amy Schumer.
Yeah, exactly. And you rubes should be concerned about it just as much as you were concerned about the situation with Obama.
Do you really want to just give these people these jobs and
not check on them?
Not check them? Look, I don't expect to find anything particularly bad, but who knows if you don't do a full and complete vetting of everybody. And I mean, look, Tillerson ties to Russia. We know this. Some of the other guys I thought were pretty good. I saw the testimony for Pompeo for CIA. I thought he was pretty good. He gave a personal, an in-person apology to Dianne Feinstein for something he attacked her for. And she said she was very impressed by it and blah, blah, blah. And the other guy, Mattis, the guy that Mattis, they called Mad Dog, he seemed pretty good. Kelly, this other guy was pretty good. But I have to tell you, I saw Sessions, Tillerson, not so great.
Both pieces of shit.
Yeah, and Dr., who's the boss?
Carson.
Yeah, he actually did okay in his exchange.
But he was like a canary in the coal mine.
You know what the problem is? The problem with him is, and we were laughing about this before, see, here's a guy who's this doctor. He's a neurosurgeon. Okay, he's a genius. All right, whatever. All right. Okay, why this qualifies him to be the head of HUD? John is a fantasy football writing, award-winning fantasy football writer right here. You need fantasy football right into this person. And I said this a few weeks ago. Why this qualifies him to be Secretary of Defense? I don't know. Head of the CIA?
And to give him credit, Carson was sitting there saying, like, I'm really not qualified for this.
Yeah.
Like, he admits it, okay? He's just doing it as a favor to Trump, I guess, or Trump strong-armed him. Or maybe the Russians have,
I know, but
like, film him,
I know,
like,
but in Trump,
you know,
in Trump's mind, like, how's the urban development? You're black.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, something like that.
Oh, I mean, here's another Trump. Here's another couple of Trump things. He said last week he appointed Omarosa to be, like, one of his advisors, right?
Yeah.
Then the other thing, he named Robert Kennedy Jr., a proponent of the hoax known as anti-vaxxing.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in vaccines, okay?
Yeah.
He's the head of a committee to determine the safety of vaccines.
We should throw out, though, they said that might not be completely true, that he didn't offer it to him.
But see, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
You can't even tell reality anymore from anything else because you're dealing with someone, Trump, meaning, A, who's genuinely an idiot. Like, he's a master of propaganda and PR and marketing.
He's a master of that.
But, like, in terms of intelligence, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt, okay? And in his mind, he must be like, well, if everybody likes vaccines, there must be a conspiracy about them. Therefore, you know, listen, take it from someone who has an autistic child, okay? Who's researched this to no end. Vaccines do not cause autism. Don't believe that dope Jenny McCarthy. You want to see her naked? She's good for that. She's not a doctor. She's not an expert. She hasn't done any fucking research, all right? There was one report that thought that vaccines and autism were tied in, correlated. The guy who wrote the report admitted to making shit up.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's been thoroughly debunked, okay? And I actually saw a fucking rube being interviewed saying, well, there's no evidence, there's no scientific evidence that vaccines cause autism. And he looked straight in the camera and said, well, you can keep that science to yourself because I don't believe none of it. I believe what I believe. How do you deal with people like that?
Yeah.
Even worse, how do you deal with someone who runs the country who believes that shit?
Yeah.
Or at least believes the pandering to those people.
Yeah, you're going to see this now. This is going to come out. Also, Trump's, I forget the guy's name, but the guy he picked to run the EPA is a client.
Yeah.
Global warming denial guy.
Right.
He doesn't think it's true at all. Now, John and I have said on this show, we don't know.
I don't know.
This is not an issue that burns in me.
Yeah.
So, quite honestly, I have to admit, my reading and research of global warming, you could fit it into a glass. I mean,
right.
It's not much, because if it's true, well, you know what, there's nothing I can do about it, but I understand this. I do understand that all these scientists say that it's
happening.
True. Okay, all right. But you know what, this is going to be, because the climate change denier that Trump and EPA. This is going to be one of the more interesting nominee, person
right.
getting the job because, I mean, that's going to be, because that directly relates to
right.
policy.
But here's the other thing, and something yeah. I don't like. Allegedly, there's this purge where Trump is having his people go through these departments and finding out who's a client, who denies climate change, who supports it. They've been, and you've got scientists now. Whether they're overreacting or not, they're hiding shit to keep it away from Trump and his minions, because they really think Trump is going to delete data, cut off access to data.
He did meet with Al Gore, though.
Yeah, that doesn't
that
mean
was,
much. I mean, well, but
that's
I mean,
weird, though.
Or it could just been something to for purposes of optics. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But my point is, the fact that you have this much of an idiot in charge really has everybody worried. The only people who aren't worried are rubes. Because there's a certain calmness with coming with just ignorance. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's ignorance is bliss.
Exactly. There's that, you know, that calmness, that serenity, that bliss that Larry's talking about, that, scientists, what do they know? They're fucking eggheads.
Yeah, they don't believe in God, and they're all left-wing eggheads. Look, let me tell you something. You can call scientists whatever you want, but these are what some of the better educated people do. And let me tell you something, it's not just scientists here, it's scientists around the world. So this would have to be a hell of a conspiracy
yeah.
for all of them to be going out saying that there's this climate change going on just to affect government policy. And I don't think
and
that's
again, a, I'm not even saying
that's
have,
a stretch.
I'm not even saying you have to have a proponent of climate change in there. You could just have someone who's a skeptic. That's it, a skeptic.
Yeah.
That says, okay, go ahead, do your research. Let
right.
me know what's going on. You know,
that's
whatever.
Like us. But,
yeah.
to be a flat out, it's not true, this is bullshit.
And no one's even allowed to research it.
Yeah.
You know, look, it's like the religious nuts.
Fundamentalists.
The fundamentalists who didn't want to do stem cell research. Okay?
Perfect. That's perfect.
And I just read something that stem cell research right now is directly responsible for being on the verge of curing AIDS once and for all, okay?
And a few other things.
Yeah, of course. But, and, you know, so the point being is, like, you don't have to understand it necessarily. And I read this great article in one of the libertarian blogs. I forget who it was. I can figure that out later for you folks. But it was basically titled The Death of the Expert. And it was a fascinating proposition that said that the democratization of data, of the internet, of communications, means that everyone has an opinion. Like us, right?
Yeah.
We couldn't get on NBC with this shit 10 years ago.
No.
Right? So on the one level, which is a great thing, it empowers people. The internet, the age of data, big data, has helped a lot of people. It's empowered a lot of people. It's got more minds thinking about solving more problems, which is always good. The downside is that everybody thinks that all opinions have the same weight, that they're all equal. And that's just simply not the case.
Yeah, that's not true.
Like, I say everyone is entitled to their opinion, but it doesn't mean that everyone's opinion is entitled to the same respect. And that's just all there is to it.
Because not every opinion has the same level of knowledge,
experience,
facts, intelligence, insight, a little introspection. I mean, you know, people simply are different. And you don't know everything just because you can look at Wikipedia.
So you can have an opinion, say, on how vaccines may or may not cause autism. No one's censoring you. But let's be honest, like, the guy that I'm talking about who in the interview said he don't believe in no science and he knows what he knows and he believes what he believes, are you telling me that his weight is the same as that 70-year-old egghead who's been trying to cure autism for the past 70 years or 50 years or whatever?
Yeah.
Are they the same? The guy who worked hard to get his PhD?
And has committed his life?
And that's...
trying to
yeah.
find cures for this?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to believe that it's some bumpkin who just, quite frankly... then this is one of the things that I don't like about Republicans that we've talked about, is the whole anti-intellectual thing. Anybody they think is like, look, I understand that douchebags like Obama, he thinks he's an intellectual, he's condescending. But you know what? You know what the flip side
yeah.
of it? The anti-science, anti-intellectual, you know, these kind of like rubes that you,
yeah.
you know, and their whole animosity and hostility towards anybody they think fits that mold. Let me tell you something. Being educated is not a negative. It's, I mean, it's a matter of what you do with it. But you're not supposed to look at these people and these scientists. You know, it's like if you've ever seen the movie Inherit the Wind. Like, he brings in, no, seriously, Spencer Tracy brings in five scientists who are, like, world-renowned. And this is true. Brings them in, and the judge won't let them testify or anything having to do with
it. If you haven't seen the movie, Inherit the Wind is about the Scopes Monkey Trial.
And the
Clarence Darrow versus William Jennings Bryan, one of the great legal, two of the greatest orators and legal minds of the time.
Played by Spencer Tracy.
Actually, go watch the fucking movie. It's awesome.
It's awesome. And you see all the people. They haven't changed very much. Marching through the streets with, if it's good enough for Brady, it's good enough for me. Like that whole religious and crazy mentality, you know. And meanwhile, he brings in five scientists who are, like, from anthropology to geology, like, the most respected guy. And the judge won't let them testify. And everything, and he keeps claiming, well, it has nothing to do with this law. If you don't like intellectuals, if you don't like scientists, you're like, yeah, I have a problem with that. I'm not saying that everything that comes out of their mouth is true or accurate.
Or that
I'm not saying
correct.
They shit rainbows. Yeah. Okay, fine, but you know what? To dismiss them out of hand because you don't like science and you think that scientists are deliberately undermining religion and God, I mean, you know, these are the people who go to the Creation Museum in Kentucky.
Yeah, honestly, look, I've said it before. Like, my father was a mechanic. He wasn't necessarily a well-educated man. He never went to college. He was an auto mechanic. I'm college graduated, graduate school, have two degrees. It's like, I still don't know how to put my car back together again. I couldn't fix it. I push it or call for AAA, all right? To this day, I'm a 50-something old man. And I, when my car breaks down, I just call for help. My father would be disgusted with me, okay?
He's like Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Just pushing it down the
just
road.
Just pushing the old Dodge down the road, right? But my point being, just I'm not one of those people that says because you're educated, you're automatically the shit, okay? Yeah. Like I said, my own father was not educated, worked hard his entire life, and like he could fix a car. While he was alive, I never went to a real mechanic. I would take it over to my dad, and he would sit and play with it and fix it and, or tell me whether what needed to be done, okay? And I respected that. I respect anyone who earns an honest living and makes a positive contribution to society, no matter what it is. It could be that you're a good housewife, a good parent, a teacher, whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a super intellectual. The flip side of that is everyone's got to know sort of their role, not to quote The Rock or anything,
no,
your role, Jaboni. But I mean, there's a reason why we go to doctors that have a proven record and track record of success. Like, what do we think? Do we? Here's the thing: if you have cancer, honestly, ask yourself this: if Larry's waving a chicken over you, going booga booga, do you feel that's just as effective as an oncologist giving you chemo or something?
Yes.
Okay? If the answer in your mind, honestly, is yes, you're a fucking rube. That's all there is to it.
Then you need another doctor.
Yeah. You're a fucking rube. If the answer is, well, sometimes, or I don't know, or maybe, who knows what happens with the occult, then you're a fucking rube. That's all there is to it. And
I know.
That's what, you know,
yeah, it's
that's
it's,
what that article was
but
about.
But that's really what my point is. Look, I understand if you don't like these scientists, right? But that doesn't make them wrong just because they got that damn education. So.
It's almost like they got the vapors or something. It's like, they got the vapors. Woo! Fucking rubes.
All right.
I just can't believe it.
Okay.
All right, listen. Time is up.
Yes, that's it.
And I'm frustrated with you rubes in absentia.
So let's
By
not,
the way,
let's
look that
it.
Up. A-B-S-T-E.
Tension. T-I-A, yeah.
All right.
All right.
So let's leave it at that. Until next time, when we meet once again, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larian.
Peace, bitches.
Peace out.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Larian. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. And I just love Sunday morning Blumpkins.